भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing our reading from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 1, the history of the life of Ajamila. Today's text is 6. Adhuneha Mahabhaga Yataiva Narakan Naraha Nanogra Yatanan Neyad Tan Me Vyakyatum Arhasi. Adhuneha Mahabhaga Yattaiva naraka naraha nanugra yatana neyat tanme vyakhyatum arhasi. Adhuneha mahabhaga yattaiva naraka naraha nanugra yatana neyat tanme vakyatum arhasi. Adhuneha mahabhaga yattaiva naraka naraha nanugrayatana neyat tanme vakyatum arhasi. Please chant. Okay, synonyms. Adhuna, right now. Iha, in this world. I'm sorry, in this material world. Mahabhaga, O greatly opulent and fortunate Shukadeva Goswami. Yata, so that, eva, indeed, narakan, all the hellish conditions into which the impious are put. Naraha, human beings. Nana, varieties of. Uga, terrible. Yatanan, conditions of suffering. Na'iyat, may not undergo. Tat, that. May, to me. Vyakyatam, arhasi, please describe. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Please repeat. O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the 26th chapter of the 5th canto, Shukadeva Goswami has explained that people who commit sinful acts are forced to enter hellish planets and suffer. Now, Maharaj Parikshit, being a devotee, is concerned with how this can be stopped. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he is very unhappy to see others in trouble. Prahlad Maharaj said, quote, "My Lord, I have no personal problems, for I have learned how to glorify your transcendental qualities and thus enter a trance of ecstasy. I do have a problem, however, for I am simply thinking of these rascals and fools who are busy with maya sukhaya, temporary happiness, without knowledge of devotional service unto you." This is a problem faced by a Vaishnava, because a Vaishnava fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He personally has no problems, but because he is compassionate toward the fallen, conditioned souls, he is always thinking of plans to save them from their hellish life in this body and the next. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, anxiously wanted to know from Shukadeva Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Shukadeva Goswami had already explained how people enter hellish life, and he could also explain how they could be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Unfortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore, people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. To convince them of their next life is very difficult because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. Maharaj Parikshit is a representative of one who can save them. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshitarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shirtapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganathanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvatangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabhaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sinubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, this verse starts out with Parikshit Maharaj addressing his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, as greatly fortunate and opulent. So what is the fortune of the Vaishnava? What is the fortune? It is said that the wealth of the Brahmana is his learning, knowledge. So what is the wealth or opulence? Obviously he's not making fun of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami arrived on the scene naked. He had no possessions. So what opulence is he talking about? He's obviously not talking about a bank balance. He's not talking about some inheritance. He arrived on the scene naked. I'm very fortunate where in my apartment right above the BBT, I have that painting right above where I take rest every night. Shukadeva Goswami is sitting naked on the Vyasasana and Parikshit Maharaj is kneeling in front of him. So what is this opulence that he's talking about? How is Shukadeva Goswami opulent if he's walking around naked to the point where women and children were following him and teasing him? The opulence of the Vaishnava, of the devotee, is his or her devotion to Krishna. That's what we really possess. Even if we have some apparent material opulence, that is going to be taken away, even from the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is Don't take it with them to beyond death. Nobody does. So we see in Chaitanya Lila that there was a wide range of situations of devotees in terms of material opulence. When we think of a devotee who didn't have any opulence, who comes to mind immediately? Kolavet Sridhar, immediately. He had no money. Not that he wasn't trying. Every day he was going out and selling his banana products, bananas, banana leaf plates and stuff like that he was selling. He was doing some business, you could say. But he was not getting anywhere in terms of material opulence. But why is he mentioned in Chaitanya Lila? Because he was completely devoted to Lord Chaitanya. He was a pure devotee. And when we think of an opulent devotee, somebody who had material opulence, who comes to mind immediately? In Chaitanya Lila. Who had money? Pundarik Vidini, Maharaj Prataparudra. King. Wealthy. So we see there's a wide range, and this always exists. We have some not so enlightened personalities who hang around ISKCON and try to, you know, agitate devotees based on this point. Hey, look at that person. They have so much money. They must be stealing from ISKCON. Oh, look at that other person. They don't have it. No, this has always existed. There is nowhere where Prabhupada states that if you chant Hare Krishna, if you join this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I will give you as much money as everybody else. Prabhupada never says that. He never says that. It doesn't say join us. If we did that, if we actually went out and advertised like that, that you join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and you'll become rich, they'll be tearing down the doors, especially if they saw that it worked. But that's not what we're presenting here. This morning, Brigapati was reading from the 14th chapter of the first canto, where Arjuna is seeing the signs. There's trembling in the body and all these different bad omens. And Prabhupada states there that when you see these signs in the body, that means something bad is going to happen. But something bad is always happening in this material world. Something bad is always happening. This is Marchaloka, this planet, this earth planet. In one sense, the entire universe is Marchaloka because nobody survives. Even Brahma has to give up his life at the end of the life of the universe. But this particular planet that we're on, this earth planet, is referred to as Marchaloka. Chinye punye Marchalokam Vishala. Krishna says, you go to the heavenly planets, you enjoy for some time, then chinye punye, Marchaloka, you come back to this planet, earth planet. So it's particularly mentioned as Marchaloka, where death takes place. So there's always something bad happening. Ahani hani bhutani gacchanti yamalam. Shesha stavar ichanti kim asharya takparam. Every day, so many living entities are going into this situation. They're going before Yamaraj to be judged, and the majority of them are going to the hellish planets to be tortured by the servants of Yamaraj, Yamadutas. It made me wonder, you know, because we say, when people, intelligent people ask, that you say there are 8,400,000 species of life, and when this human being misuses the human form of life, they fall into some lower species, and then gradually they come back up. But where do the Yamadutas fit in? In other words, if you take birth as a Yamaduta, servant of Yamaraj, where do you go after that? Do you become a human being? You're certainly not going to take an animal birth. Do you become a demon? What do you become? Anybody knows? We have our Vasugoshya Prabhu, who vastly learned Brahmana. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of them. What is the birth after Yamaduta birth? Because they know. They're administering this. They're inflicting this punishment on people. So they know. Huh? Yeah. They can stay there. Well, we have some indication from Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vatadeva and pitri yanti pitri vataha. So based on whoever they're worshipping, if they actually worship Yamaraj, which they seem to be really into Yamaraj as being their boss, and they do whatever he says, then, logically, based on Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita, they would again take birth or associate with Yamaraj in some way, some form or fashion. But it's not guaranteed. We know that knowledge of a situation doesn't guarantee that you're going to act right. We all know now, by having associated with Srila Prabhupada, what to do and what not to do. But does that mean that we are always acting properly at every moment? No. So knowledge of a situation doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to act right, that you're going to function properly based on that knowledge. Doesn't necessarily mean that. Anyway, it's an interesting thought. What happens to the Yamadutas? Because they are definitely relishing this service that they have to put the pedal to the metal on living entities, or and most of the living entities, unfortunately, especially in Kali Yuga, are going to fall into this situation. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit is inquiring, being a compassionate devotee, what can be done? How can he's not worried about himself, just like Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj in this verse, Naidbobhute Paradaratya Vaitaranyas, that verse, very, very important verse. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, I am Magnachitta, I am meditating on you all the time, my consciousness is fixed on you, therefore I have no problems. That Viryagana, your glories, I'm always Gayanta, I'm always reciting your glories, and therefore I have no problems. But these fools who are chasing after this sense gratification, Maya Sakaya, this flickering, and it's not even real happiness when you analyze it, when you really analyze what passes for happiness in this world. Every day people are eating abominable things and thinking that it's wonderful. But somebody who's a little bit removed from that, many of us were born in such situations. Now if we go back to visit some relatives and they're blithely tearing at the flesh of some animal, we would cringe. It's like, ugh, nasty. But they're thinking it's happiness. They're thinking this is wonderful. So the happiness is not only temporary and flickering, maya sukaya, but it's abominable what people chase after for happiness in this world. We all have a material body, so we know firsthand how miserable, right, sir? We know what kind of misery this body can. You don't even have to go to hell. You can be put into so many hellish situations right on this very planet. You have a mission to go to Rath Yatra in Tijuana, and this body just gives you so much trouble. You have to pull off the highway and vomit blood. Poor Surya Prabhu. This is what happens. So we know already. We have some indication of what it's like to be put into hellish situations. We don't have to go all the way down to the hellish planets. So one who's intelligent wonders how to make a permanent solution of this. This material body is obviously not a nice residential quarter. It's not a nice place to live. And even if I say, all right, I'll put up with the pains, and you know, because the pleasures are there also. This is not intelligent. On Sunday we heard from Srila Prabhupada, he's getting into the whole Prahlad Leela right now, 7th canto. So, Sukama Yantrikam Daita, Deha Yogena Dehina, Sarvata Labhyate Daivat, Yata Dukama Yatnata. That was the verse on Sunday. That you don't have to worry about your sukha, your happiness. It will come. Just as the book comes without your inviting it. Surya didn't invite when he was born that, you know, give me this body that's going to give me such troubles when I get to be this age. No. He didn't invite. But it's there. It comes with the territory. Once you take a material body, every one of us, by our karma, has a particular mixture of pain and pleasure that we're going to experience in this particular life. You cannot change that. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining so nicely on Sunday, don't worry about your happiness. It will come. It will come. Whatever is destined to come to you in this particular life will come. It doesn't mean, again, don't work. Sometimes people think we're saying that. No. It doesn't mean don't work. Kolovet Sridhar, he was working, it was going on every day, trying to do something. So we have to do something to make a living. Either inside the society of devotees or outside. Wherever you make your living, you're going to do something. But the point is, don't worry your brain constantly of how am I going to survive, where is it going to come from. No, just do your best, and whatever is due will come. Just as the miseries come without your inviting them, your share of happiness will come also. So, this morning also from that same reading, Arjuna is noticing the symptoms, and Prabhupada said in the purport there that the only relief from these miseries is the mercy of the Lord, and the Lord sends His representative to enlighten us. So it's this enlightenment that will give us the ultimate relief from these material miseries. Arjuna later on, that was the 14th chapter of the first canto that was being quoted this morning. So later on, in the 15th chapter, it says a very nice verse there, some of you may know. Desha kalarta yuktani rittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratak chittam govinda bihatani me. Very nice verse. So he says there that, because, you know, he was experiencing the misery of having to see Krishna leave. So he was remembering. He says, now I'm remembering instructions given to me by the personality of God at Govinda. He says, these instructions are impregnated with the potency to relieve the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. So this then is our wealth, our opulence, is this Srimad Bhagavad Gita, spoken by the personality of God, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Interestingly, we know at one point, one of our early editors had translated that as the Blessed Lord said. So this went on for some time. It was there in the book. And then one morning, as if just realizing, Srila Prabhupada said, what is this Blessed Lord said? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha means the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. No, Blessed Lord. Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, Bhagavan. Bhaga means opulence and Van means one who possesses. So Bhagavan, Supreme Person, means he possesses all opulences in infinite quantity. We're struggling to get minute little bit of opulence for some time. This occupies our entire, you know, Prabhupada is saying in another place, he said, well, what is there any question of enjoyment? He said, they're working hard day and night just to maintain a little household. Baram, take this responsibility, Baram Udvanto, to maintain a household, family, occupies their entire day, all day long. Viva Charteha Raja, Kutumba Barane Nava, Shukadeva Goswami said earlier in the second canto. That is simply riyate, what is that? Nidraya riyate naktam vivayena chisvavayam. Diva chartehe rajan kutumba bharanenava. That nighttime, simply sleeping or trying to squeeze out some pleasure from sex life, and daytime, simply running around. Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? So they can maintain the family. So this is what passes for civilization nowadays. So the Vaishnava sees that. That in spite of your trying so hard to be happy in this world, you're simply on the path to hell. Yamadutas are just waiting. And they're not just waiting in the hellish planets. They come here to get us, as we know from this Leela we're about to hear, this Ajamil. They don't just wait at the end of some tunnel and then you come. No, they come and get you. As I mentioned sometimes, some devotees have put on the internet in relation to their relatives passing that they were discussing with the hospital staff, and they have this term, terminal restlessness. They know when the patient is going to die because they get into this phase of terminal restlessness. They can't, you know, and they claim that they're seeing things. You know, one particular devotee was saying, her father was saying, get them out of here. I see them. These horrible looking people. Now Halloween is coming. And they think they're clever. They make all these weird looking masks. But if they saw the Yamadutas, they would faint. They would faint, literally. They cannot dream of something so horrible as these Yamadutas. So people see them. People see them just before they die. They come. One man was just describing. It's like a whole family of them, and there's a dog, and there's, you know, they come, and they camp out. They're waiting. They know when you're going to take that last breath. And they're waiting, just like they did with Ajamil, to drag you off. So it's not a nice situation, and therefore, compassionate devotees, like Parikshit Maharaj, are wondering, how can we save people from going through this experience repeatedly? It's not that you go through one time and go to hell and that's it. No. Go to hell, come back to the human form of life sometime in the future, and again, unfortunately, majority of people, again, glide down into hellish situations. So, how to save them? So Prabhupada gave the clue this morning in that purport. They have to be enlightened by the pure representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says also in today's purport, what was that statement? To convince them of their next life is very difficult because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. So are we sane? This is how we can test our sanity. If we're actually sane, then we take up this mission of trying to save the conditioned souls, knowing that it's not that we can save anybody. What can I do? What can you do? The real saving agent is this enlightenment that comes down from the Supreme Personality of God and Himself through the disciplic succession, through Srila Prabhupada, and now we're meant to just hand it on to others, this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Give it to them and be ready to explain, as we heard yesterday. Not just that we distribute the books, we have to be ready to explain because people will ask questions, just like they asked Prem Sankirtan Prabhu, that man asked him, can you show me God? So I told him, yes, show him the picture of Krishna. He may accept or not accept, but this is God. This is what we have accepted coming into Sapuk succession. Somebody may accept or not accept. They don't even accept their own theories. They argue like anything. Just like recently, there's this island in the Malaysian archipelago, I think, yeah, where they discovered this skeleton of very, very tiny humanoids, human-like creatures. And they're arguing about where it fits into this evolutionary picture, and some are saying, you know, yeah, they survived for millions of years on this, and no, and they argue about their own theories. They can't agree on anything. So why should we worry about whether they accept what we're giving them or not, right off the bat? No, we don't. We just pass it on, like the postal peon. You get the letter, you give it to the recipient. That's it. You don't worry about whether they're going to be happy or unhappy with the letter, what's in the news that's in there. So similarly, we're going to give them the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Now we do it in an intelligent way. Prabhupada said, if you agitate people while you're preaching, while you're distributing books, then it's your fault. So we should do it in a nice way, like Vaisheshi Prabhu is training his devotees that if you approach somebody and they don't want the book, then you thank them anyway for the time they spent with you and wish them a nice day. You don't get upset, oh, you didn't take the book, you're a fool. No, you didn't take the book. Thank you for your time, sir, ma'am. Have a very nice day. Hare Krishna. Move on to the next person. And that way you maintain your own level of Krishna consciousness. Because if you get too involved with each individual that they take and they don't take, Prabhupada said, don't worry whether they take or don't take. Your job is to deliver it, to deliver the message. Don't worry. It's up to Krishna. Krishna's in the heart. And Krishna will turn that person when at the right time. So, we have this great opulence of the Bhagavad Gita. We should take it ourselves, drink it on a daily basis, really try to understand, to discuss. Krishna says that one who is not envious can really get into it. So we can also test. If we really can't get into Bhagavad Gita, that means there's residual envy there. Idam tu te guyatamam prabhaksham anasuyave. Anasuya, if you're anasuya, if you're not envious, Bhaji Narayan Prabhu, he named his daughter Anasuya. Not envious. If you're not envious of Krishna, then you can drink this nectar, really drink it. Your hairs will stand on end, as Sanjaya said at the end, when he's remembering this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, his hairs were standing on end. It's not that hairs only stand on end when we hear Gopi Gita. No. If we're actually not envious, if we're actually advanced in spiritual consciousness, then our hairs will stand on end from reading Bhagavad Gita. After all, it's spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not somebody's made up, you know. No, Krishna spoke himself, Bhagavad Gita. So what can be more nectarian than hearing about God from God? Nothing sweeter. All right, we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Mukundadat Prabhu?
I had several experiences when I was taking care of my elderly mother, and I was in many hospitals with her. She nearly died. And I had some conversations with nursing staff and doctors there, and many of them confirmed that they have this experience, and it's well known in nursing circles that when a person is close to death or when someone is having near-death experience or even sometimes when people die as well, they see these strange beings, and they don't really have any explanation for it, and they don't really like to talk about it, but it is on the inside, as it were. It's a pretty well-known phenomenon.
Yeah. One of our book distributors had an experience. She was distributing second chance. It's actually millionth chance. It's not only, I'm sure Jamil, that soul, had many, many chances before, but we call the book a second chance. So she was trying to distribute to some businessman in an airport, and he brushed her off. But then she said a few months later, the same guy came through the airport, and he approached her, and he was saying, do you have that book? Do you have that book? And she said, which book? He said, you tried to distribute this book to me. You tried to give me this book. He was talking about second chance. And he told her that after he had met her that day, he went off on some trip, and he had a near-death experience, and he saw the Yamadut. He said, I saw them. So he came back specifically to buy that book. So that's why it's important for us to be out there with this knowledge, because people need it. They need it. And they can relate to it. Of course, if you're a devotee and you're near to death, as Sura was saying, Mother Kanka came. She had the Harinam Chatter, right? She had the, what else did she bring? The Ganges water. All the right paraphernalia to help you positively leave this body. Because we're all going to go through that too. That's the beauty of being a devotee, associating with devotees. Not just hanging out with some nurses or doctors who may or may not know what's going on. Sometimes they don't know. Dwarka Rani was telling me when her father went in the hospital, she was, you know, far away, and she called up and said, spoke to the doctor personally, I'm kind of busy, I can't come right away, but what do you think? The doctor said, don't worry about it. Death is not coming anytime soon. Her father died at night. So they don't know. They don't know. They guess. Oh, your father's not going to die, or he's going to last for 6 months. He died that very night. So they don't know either. They don't. They're just guessing. Yes, such a Tanai Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. My father told me a story of one of his friends in a small village where he left his body at night, and everybody at that time, probably the doctor didn't come and check. So the whole family was praying, soon he was dead. And about the morning, he woke up, he came back. And then after that, he told the story that he said the neighbors down there who were selling liquor, they were harassed by horrible beings tied up to a tree. And the lady who lives in the next block, who's selling, butchering and chickens, he says, beaten like anything by horrible beings too. And they didn't have any knowledge about, you know, what we read in the Bhagavatam and the Yamadutas.
Yeah, so this is the reality that we're trying to save people from. Subhas Prabhu.
Time. Since we're talking about dying, I did receive an article from Buddy Narayan about death, about dying. A doctor wrote it, and he was saying that in America today, or in the Western world for that matter, and no one knows what it means to die, or they don't want to die. What he's trying to say is that the healthcare system in America, for instance, the reason it's so ludicrous is because they try to always keep a 80-year-old person alive, hooked up to machines and tubes, because they don't know what to do. They have no idea what else to do. The relatives, they want to hold on to the body. And the person that's dying has no idea what's going on. They're just hooked up into tubes with all kinds of drugs. So the doctor was saying that this is the biggest problem in society today. No one knows how to die. So it's really important on this subject matter about Krishna consciousness in terms of telling people how to leave this world. Because they are fearful. They have no idea where they're going, what's happening. They have no understanding of death, that it's a natural product of this material world. And because we've surrendered to the scientific conception, in other words, we think that we can live longer and have fun and whatever, the concept of death has been completely misinterpreted, and they don't know what it means to die. And this is the fear factor. So as devotees, we should see that we shouldn't allow ourselves to be hooked up to tubes, to all kinds of unnecessary things, but to learn that part of life is death, and we will die 100%. And the purpose of life is to get ready to die. And then when that time comes, we accept it as a natural byproduct of this material world. And there won't be that fear when we're ready to die. That's really the point. Where in society today, they have all these machines and artificial life systems. No one knows what to do. So they spend millions of dollars just trying to save somebody laying in a bed with tubes.
And in the end, they still die. So then, yeah, Shukadeva Goswami, and this is the message of the Bhagavatam. Back in the second canto, nice verse, he said, and we'll end here, Antakale cha purusha agate gata sarvasha chinyat asanga sastrena sprihang dehena yechitam. He said, Antakale, at the end of life, one should be bold enough to cut off all attachments. You must cut, because if you don't cut off the attachments, you're going to die, but you're going to remain in discipline because you're going to be attached to it. And also in relation to Dhritarashtra Prabhu, after Dhritarashtra was scolded by Vidura and he finally left home, you know, he self-immolated. He sat down and by mystic yoga, he burned his body. So Prabhupada said in that section that Formerly, every gentleman knew how to do this. So, you know, you wouldn't go through this business of going to hospital and draining the family wealth by being, you know, paying so many doctors for nothing. You would just go off somewhere, anybody's a gentleman. And in other cultures it was there too. I know in Japan, they have this particular mountain where the elders, they would tell the young people that they're going to go for this pilgrimage. But it was actually to die. They would just go to this mountain, sit down and die there. They, you know, not so as not to be a burden on the family. So this was any culture, real culture had this aspect of it, that when it's your time to go, you just go. Better to go die in a field somewhere than to go through this whole, you know, elaborate, you know, money draining, hooked up, like you said, you know, it's just like, it's a waste, total waste. And then the family's left devastated emotionally and financially, you know, it's just not worth it. Anybody, same person can see that. So yes, but we have to also set the example that when our turn comes, not that we're telling everybody else to be brave, and then when our turn comes, we're running all over the universe trying to be, we should be like our Ram Dass Prabhu. When it was time for Ram Dass, he knew it was time, he sent his wife out of the room, he sat down, and just gave up his body. Jai, Nancy Rashivan Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.